We live in a day and a time when everybody wants a happy God. They want God to be what this is. They want God to be a God that says, you're fine however you want to live. Because heaven's gates are going to be wide open. Well, that's not the case. That's not the truth. And there are preachers that would get on TV and tell you that God loves you enough that you can live however you want to live. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Scriptures speak of the coming day of the wrath of God. Now, how do they get this to jive with this? To have a God that's happy and go lucky all the time, and He wants you to be happy and go lucky all the time, but the Bible tells us that He has a day of wrath that is approaching. The revealing of the righteous judgment of God. It's what we notice in Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Notice with me, he says here, or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. We have to live a life that's pleasing to God. Peter tells us that there is a day of judgment that is coming. A day of judgment for the ungodly. We read in 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 7, where it says, by the same word the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But wait a minute, I thought God wants everybody to be happy. If that's the case, then there's really no ungodly people in this world, is there? So how do we reckon this with what man says? Where we've got a God that says, yeah, do what you want to do. There is a day of judgment coming for the ungodly in which the fullness of God's righteousness, His indignation, is going to be made known. You may live around people right now. You may think this yourself today, that God is a loving God, and He is, but He wants you to be happy and live your life to the fullest extent of however you want to live, sinful or not. And I hope that you understand that, as Peter says, there's a day coming that we're all going to see the righteousness and the indignation of God. The Scriptures also speak of how God's wrath has already come. Going to our text in Romans chapter 1 in verse 18, the first part of the verse there, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. We can already see some of the judgments of God, His godly wrath coming from heaven now upon those in this world that are living ungodly lives. He says in that same verse that it's against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So people that tell you, even these televangelists that get on the TV and they tell you that God loves you and wants you to live however you want to live, you can live as sinful as you want to live, they're lying to you. And we would do well to understand that. This passage tells us that there is a foretaste of God's righteous indignation that's being made known. Why does God manifest or make known this foretaste of His wrath? Why would He do this? How does He express His righteous indignation even in our society and as we look around us today? Long before the day of judgment will get here. We're going to notice this morning Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, which I believe answers this question. So the first thing we're going to notice is why God manifests his wrath. Why does he make known his wrath upon mankind? Well, let's notice. We'll begin reading in verse 18. It's a lengthy passage. We're going to read down through the end of the chapter. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God has also gave them up to uncleanness in their lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." So what we see here is that God makes manifest his wrath. So why does he tell us this if the society that we live in says, "Oh, but God wants you to be happy. He wants you to live however you see fit"? Well, the first thing is because man stifles what God has revealed in his truth. They put a blanket on it to put that fire out. They reject the truth of his righteousness by using unrighteousness, which we saw in verse 18. They're rejecting what is true. If people tell you that it's okay for you to live a life of sin, that you'll still go to heaven, they've rejected the truth of God's word. That's what we just read. I don't care how much money those preachers make on TV. If they're teaching error, they're lying to you, and their fate is going to be worse than those who are faithful. They suppress the truth in unrighteousness by trying to justify what is ungodly and unrighteous. God wants you to be happy. That's true. But it does not want you to live a life of sin to think you're happy there. But we also see men stifling God's truth, as we see in verses 19 through 20. They spurn or reject what God has revealed. God's truth has been given to us. And it is not our prerogative, it's not our right to reject what God would tell us to do. There are things about God that are manifest in man himself. Paul alludes to that by talking about the natural affection, the natural things of a man and a woman. For example, man's intelligence and personality. That implies that the Creator has the same thing. God has a personality. God has an intelligence. Another example would be man's sense of ought, implying that our Creator is righteous. That sense of ought is knowing when to do the right thing. You know, when I was teaching the high school class, several years ago, I taught from a book that was entitled Abstain from Every Form of Evil. And in one of those lessons, it was dealing with peer pressure. You don't hear too much about peer pressure anymore, especially with high school kids. But peer pressure can be used by your coworkers to cause you to try to prompt you into doing something wrong. How many of you remember in high school when your kids would tell you, your friends would tell you, it's okay to take a drink? It's okay to do this. And the least probably would be, it's okay to skip class. How many of you skipped class? I did. I skipped to go buy tickets to a rock concert one time. That was before Ticketmaster and all these other things, when you had to camp out around Murphy Center just to buy tickets. Done that. But even worse than that is when people will tell you, like Paul alludes to here, that homosexuality and lesbianism is okay because God wants you to be happy. That goes against the natural affection of human beings. Our sense of ought implies that our Creator is righteous. And there are things about God that are manifest or made known in His creation. In Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." The invisible attributes of God, which Paul talks about in this passage in Romans chapter 1, are seen and understood by the things that we see in nature. Even when tragedy strikes, like tornadoes and hurricanes, we still see the intelligent attributes, the intelligent design of God, the design and order of the universe. How wonderful is it to know that we have a sun and the planets are aligned in a certain way so that you live on the perfect planet to sustain your life? Now, how wonderful is it to know that your planet and all the others are rotating around this great ball of fire and spinning at the same time so that your gravity produces just the right amount of weight for you to stay on? You're not too heavy. You're not too light so that you'd be like the moon and you take one leap and you'd go 20 feet. It's just right. The air that you breathe is just right. Everything is just right. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. When you look outside, how many of you went outside yesterday? Even though it was 82 degrees, it was a perfect day, wouldn't it? Low to no humidity. Perfect day. Beautiful day. And how many of us thought to give thanks to God for that day? The design and order of the universe imply the eternal power and deity of God. When man fails to listen to the beauty and to the design of the universe that declares that God exists, how can we not understand that at times God may be angry? Another reason that God manifests His wrath is because man is ungrateful and foolish. Now, I'm not speaking necessarily of us, but you look at our society, look at the world that we live in. And how many times are we, as Paul says in verse 12, not thankful to God for what we have? We take for granted the things that we have, don't we? You got up this morning, put your pot of coffee on, you might have forgot to drink it. But you put your pot of coffee on and you think, well, I've got that, and it's just an automatic process, isn't it? You might have had a bowl of cereal or bowl of oats or something like that for breakfast. You take things for granted because you have it. But God gave it to you. You were able to be here today because of God. We need to be thankful for everything that God has given to us. But mankind is not. A lot of today in society, they're like the, the foolish man in the New Testament. I built that. This is mine. I'll tear it down and build bigger and better barns. We fail to give glory to God. And as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, we're becoming futile in our thoughts and foolish in our hearts. That's why God is showing us His wrath. You look at our society. How many elementary schools today or high schools have the Pledge of Allegiance or have a public prayer over the intercom? I remember going to Unionville, to community high school and elementary school, and sometimes it'd be my turn to go to the office, grab hold of that microphone and say the Pledge of Allegiance or to say a prayer. You can't do that now. You'd be run out of school. You look at everything that's going on in our society today, and man has, they're wasting their efforts in trying to refute God, trying to do away with God. And the consequences of not glorifying God are multiple. Paul alludes to the fact there in verses 21 through 23 that man makes his own images to worship, whether it's birds or four-footed creatures or whatever. We look for other things to worship, forgetting what God has done for us. Forgetting that He is the God of creation. Forgetting that He is the God that just spoke and everything came into existence. And we want to replace Him. Now again, I say we as general mankind. But Paul also talks about that we're making God into an image of inanimate objects. Stones and whatever the case may be. And modern man has his own idols. It leads to idolatry. We have our own idols today. Could be what's called secular humanism. In case you don't know what that is, it's where we worship ourselves. It could be covetousness, where we worship the almighty dollar. Paul says in Ephesians 5 and verse 5, For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Oh, but God wants you to do whatever you want to do. If you want to cheat on your spouse, that's what Paul says is not. You want to have filthy language? Well, no, Paul says it's not. You want to covet what somebody else has? Well, no, Paul says that's not. You want to worship something? No, Paul says this not okay. Because if you do those things, he says, you will not have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Heaven will not be your home. He says also in the Colossian letter that we are to put to death, in verse 5 of chapter 3, your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Anything that's going to prevent you from going to heaven, you need to get rid of it. We need to focus and serve God and Him only. And when man ceases to be thankful to God, then he begins to esteem the created things over the Creator. And why would that not make God angry? Why would that not upset God? You push Him aside to worship some inanimate object or some thought process or something over here. Why would that not upset God? You ever have your children come to you and not appreciate what you've done? Mamas, how many times have you cooked dinner and the kids say, I don't like that? Huh? How did it make you feel? Can we not see why God would be angry at our people, at our society today, at this old world? Sometimes I'm like my mother. I wonder how much longer God's going to let this old world go. The wrath of God at the last day as Peter says, is going to involve a fiery end. 2 Peter first chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. There's not going to be anything left of this earth. So premillennialism is out the window. 1,000-year reign is out the window. None of that applies because there's going to be nothing left here. A remodeled earth is not going to work because this earth, Peter says, is going to be melted with a great fervent heat. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning in verse 7, to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, God wants you to be happy, but if you live a sinful life, Paul says in verse 9, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. He's talking about hell. You want to live however you want to live? That's fine. That's your choice. That's your free moral agency. But if you're going to live that way, then no, you won't have any part in heaven. That God has left a place prepared for you, and that's hell. So how does God make known his wrath today? Well, Paul alludes to that in this text that we've just read. He says that God gives man up to things like moral uncleanness. He says in verse 24 that he gave them up. No fire from heaven striking them down, but simply leaving man to his own desires to do whatever he wants. So there you go. You can do whatever you want. But this is God showing his wrath. He goes on in that very same verse and talks about that he gives man up to his own moral uncleanness. Look around the world today and tell me you don't see this. How many times do we see the immorality running rampant in our society? And you don't have to look at Hollywood for this. You don't have to look at places like New York or these places with big casinos. Look in little Shelbyville. Look in Bedford County, and you can see the immorality running rampant. Paul says that God gives them up to the lust of their hearts, wherever their wicked hearts have led them. Jesus talked about that in Mark 7, verses 21 through 23. Dishonoring their bodies among themselves. In what way? Well, we're going to look at that a little bit later. But why does God give man up? Well, it's because, as Paul says in verse 25 of our text, they exchanged the truth. They swapped out the truth of God for a lie. Oh, you can live however you want to. That God loves you. You can do whatever you want and you'll still go to heaven. That's a lie. Paul says you have to follow the truth, worshiping and serving that which is created instead of the Creator. Rather than He who is the Creator and worthy to be blessed forever. Why or how does God manifest His wrath? Well, He gives man up to moral uncleanness, but He also gives man up to vile passions. Again, God gave them up, according to verse 24. No lightning again from heaven to strike them down. But God simply left man to do his own bidding, committing whatever he wanted to in his vile passions. Case in point, Paul alludes to here in chapter 1 and verse 26. Let me rephrase that. Paul does not allude to it. Paul tells us that lesbianism is wrong. Oh, but God wants me to be happy. Paul says that women exchanging the natural use for what is against nature, using their bodies designed for procreation in a way that cannot procreate. It's kind of sickening as a Christian to see two women that are raising children. They had to adopt them. Or two men raising children. Which is another case in point with verse 27. Homosexuality. Leaving the natural use of women, men turn to men, to procreate or to avoid fornication, as Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 7. He talks about here they're burning in their lust for one another, committing with men. Notice what Paul says, what is shameful, receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Well, what he's talking about there is God's wrath being revealed today in people that commit these sins. Diseases that go along with these types of lives. You don't hear too much about it anymore, but you remember HIV and AIDS? I know it was drug related, but who seemed to be getting the most of it? The people of that lifestyle. How did God manifest His wrath? He gave them up to moral uncleanness. He gave them up to vile passions. And He gave man up to debased minds. You hear again, verse 28, God gave them over. Since they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind. Again, to do things not fitting. And the result here of being given up in verses 29 through 31 is being filled with all unrighteousness. And Paul lists them: wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. You see, the problem is, as Paul talks about in verse 32, they know the righteous judgment of God, and that such things are deserving of death. Now, before you take what I'm saying here and say, oh, Jeff, you hate people. No, I don't hate people. And I'm going to give you the old proverbial statement. It's not the people that are hated. It's the sin. Okay? The sin is what God hates. And because they are so perverted in their mindset, God says, well, if that's the way you want to live, live it. But know this. Hell is prepared for you. Heaven will not be your home. Knowing all of this, God, the people still do it. And they approve of those who do it. And the sad thing there is that there are a lot of Christians that approve of those lifestyles. God's wrath is manifested by simply allowing man to go his own way, to follow the desires of his own heart, to follow the passions of his own lust, stumbling in blind ignorance to increasing degrees of depravity. It seems like it gets worse every year or so. Every time you turn around, this old world gets worse. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Notice what Paul says here. And again, Danny told you about the projector. But he says they're being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. They don't want the truth. They want to live how they want to live, regardless of what God tells them, regardless of what He says, this is going to be the end. That's all right. I'm happy now. It doesn't work that way. As I said in Bible class this morning, there's not a second chance. You have this life to get it right. Well, I'll wait till I'm almost dead. I know maybe tomorrow I'm going to die. And I'll repent and I'll change my life around. How do you know you've got tomorrow? You ever heard of anybody dropping from a heart attack like that? I had an uncle several years ago that drove a truck for Tyson. He went to Tyson, leaned up against a cigarette machine, and fell over dead. Did he know he was fixing to die? Do you know anybody like that? This world is full of them. I pulled up the Times Gazette. And I used to, and I know, again, I say it's morbid for me to do that, but I look at the obituary column. That's about all I look at. And I used to think that people 58, 60, 65, 70 were old. But that's my age. 58 years old. And I'm thinking, the Times Gazette had two of them that were, maybe three of them that were 57 to 60 years old in the obituary column this weekend. Do you think they were planning to die? Or they might have had some disease that was taking them, and yeah, they probably knew that death was coming. But what about the person like the one on Tullahoma Highway here the other day? The person involved in a terrible traffic accident, do you think that was their thought? Well, I'm going to die on my way home today, so I guess I better get my life right today, right now. You don't know. James says life is like a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. We need to be making plans now to go back and do what God says. In 1 John 4, beginning in verse 9, John writes, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us." God told us what His love is. "That God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God is full of mercy, and His mercy is made known today to everyone who will turn back to Him. We have to be willing to acknowledge His revelation that given through creation, and even more so, the calling given through His Son. We need to be thankful for what He's done for us with an attitude of gratitude, as they say. Showing gratitude throughout repentance, as Paul would write in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, "Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" One final question. Are you thankful? Are you thankful for what God has done for you? We need to be. And if we're thankful, then we need to be doing what God tells us to do. Do we show that we're thankful by turning from sin when it's in our life and coming back to God? If not, we have every reason to fear the wrath of God. Not just the judgment day, but the consequences in this life of God simply giving us up to our own desires. Where do you stand this morning? You know, when we talk about the wrath of God, it ought to be a reverent fear, afraid, terrified even, of what can happen if I still live a life of disobedience. Are you afraid? Are you afraid of entering hell when this world is over? Like I said a moment ago, you're not promised that you're even going to make it home this evening, this morning. I certainly would hate to get a call that so-and-so fell over of a heart attack, or that so-and-so had a car accident and they're no longer with us. You'd hate to receive that call as well, wouldn't you? How many of you are anticipating going home this afternoon and Brother Danny sending out a one call saying that Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so was involved in a terrible accident and they're no longer with us, that their life was taken? Are you looking forward to that? Or are you looking forward to living a life that's simply pleasing to God? If you're here this morning and your life is being misled to thinking that you can live however you want to, this is an opportunity for you to simply follow the teachings of God's truth and come back to Him. It may be that you're here and you've put Christ on in baptism, but there's something misleading you in your life. You need to repent. You need to confess, as public as that sin may be. This is your opportunity. If you're here